Well, welcome to the neighborhood this morning, and welcome to Cross Points. Great to have you here with us this morning as we start this brand new series called How to Be a Great Neighbor. Every time I see that scene, if you've seen the movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, for me, I see that and I get emotional. Just sitting right there, I was starting to like tear up. I don't know what it is about Fred Rogers that just connects with us. There was something about the way that he lived. There was something about the way that he engaged with people. And what's crazy to me is it doesn't matter what race or ethnicity or nationality, it doesn't matter what your age is. It really doesn't matter what part of the world you're from or what walk of life you're from. Every single person on that subway had connection with him. In some way had been touched by his life, right? Including us. And if we're honest, I mean, if we're just kind of dig deep and we think about it, we all want to have that kind of impact in the world, right? And I think we all would really like to know that our lives are making a difference for good, regardless of who we interact with, regardless of their age, their nationality, the part of the world that they're from. Because we want to know that our lives make that kind of difference. So that's what we're going to be looking at over these next few weeks as we think about what it means to be a great neighbor. Great to have you here this morning. My name's Kurt. And come on, what'd you think? I wasn't going to put the cardigan on. All right. Yeah, all right. So, it's good to have you here this morning. You know, one of my favorite authors is a lady named Lori Beth Jones. She writes a book called The Path, Finding Your Personal Mission Statement for Work and Life. And she tells the story about her uncle who fought in World War II and how when he was on the battlefield, if a soldier arrived unannounced in the dark and could not state his or her mission, then they were immediately shot. And he talked about how there was something really defining for those soldiers when they were in this life and death conflict where they needed to really have a clear sense of two questions. One, who am I? And number two, what am I about? And just imagine if every single one of us every day lived our lives knowing, one, who am I and what am I about? I mean, I think our lives would look enormously different. I think we'd have a lot less heartache, a lot fewer tears. I think we'd experience a lot more joy and fulfillment in life. I think productivity would go through the roof. I think everybody's life would be better. Everybody in our lives would be blessed if we just had a clear sense of that. In fact, Jesus, one of the most powerful and influential leaders ever in the history of the world, he had a mission as well. In fact, he even stated at one time, he said this, he said, I am here that they, and when he said they, he meant you and me, all of us. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest extent possible. Now, what's interesting about this is that mission for Jesus dictated every activity for him, whether he was turning water into wine or whether he was blessing children or whether he was holding seminars by the sea or turning the religious system upside down. That mission was clearly defining for him, and it impacted the way he lived, the way he talked, and the way he treated people. It impacted the way he focused through his day and the things he gave his attention to. In fact, there was one moment where a woman was caught in adultery and she was brought before Jesus and he refused to judge her because he knew his mission. He said, my mission is not to condemn, my mission is to give life. So he looked at this woman and he said, woman, get up, go and sin no more. See, there's something about a clarity of mission that really helps us know exactly what to do, what to say, and how to behave in nearly every situation. And so we're going to look at this over the next few weeks. Over these next 5 weeks, we're going to look at what it means to be the kind of people that live out this sense of blessing in our communities. So to kind of help us think about this, I want to illustrate how powerful this really is when we clearly know what we're about. There's a number of slogans we hear every single day in our community, on commercials, on the radio. You probably know them, and they kind of capture the heartbeat of what a company or organization is about. And so I'm gonna mention a couple, and I just want you to shout out. This is like we get to have fun and like say something out loud in church, right? And so you just shout out what you think this is. You finish the phrase, if you will. You guys ready to play? Are you awake? All right, you ready? All right, here we go. If I were to say there's some things in life money can't buy, for everything else, there's MasterCard. Yeah, you've heard that one. If I would say melt in your mouth, not in your hands, you would say? All right, if I would say like a good neighbor. Oh my gosh, you guys have heard them too. I mean, isn't it crazy how we get these little phrases and they become branded in our mind, right? They become branded in our lives and we know exactly what they mean. We even have an affinity with them. In fact, maybe the most popular of all is this one right here. If I were to say, just do it, you would say, Nike, yes. It's crazy. Now, here at Crosspoint, we have a slogan, we have a phrase, and many of you may have heard this before. In fact, you've heard it multiple times today. It's something that we operate on all the time, and I'm gonna share it with you, then I'm going to ask you to say it together with me. It's this. At Crosspoint, we're here to help people find their way to God. It's the main thing we're about. So let's just say that out loud a few times together. We're here to help people. Do what? We're here helping people. One more time, Crosspoint's here to help people find their way to God. It's what we're about. It's the core thing. Some of you are sitting in the seats today because this has been our mission for the last 13 years. It's crazy. Now, what's interesting about this is, let's go back to Nike for just a moment. Now, just because we like and know the phrase doesn't mean we're doing it, right? Some of you wear the apparel, you have shoes on right now, Nike shoes, you maybe have a swoosh on your shirt. Doesn't mean you're doing it, right? Doesn't mean you're working out just because you're wearing the gear, you know what I'm saying? There's this whole new movement with athletic gear called athleisure. Anybody familiar with athleisure? Athleisure is like, I want to wear the shoes and I want to wear the gear, but I'm not going to do the workout. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like this right here.
I'm a runner. I run. I'm a fighter. I fight.
And I just sit the hell down and chill in these soft pants.
Introducing the new Nike Pro Chiller Legging, designed for endurance, but used for what most women actually do in leggings, setting up shop on their couch.
Now, just to be fair, men do the same thing, women, all right? Men do the exact same thing, and it'll be happening this afternoon, I guarantee you. Now, here's the thing. We like the idea of working out, right? We love the idea of wearing the attire, having the swoosh, little logo on us. We just don't have any intention of doing it. We have no intention of actually doing the workout. And here's what I want us to see today. All right, the same could be true with our church as well. I mean, the same could be true when it comes to helping people find their way to God. We may like the idea of it, like, man, I'm here because this place had that as their byline, their tagline. Hey, we're here to help people find their way to God. You might even say, man, I love going to a church that's about that. But see, there's an enormous difference between actually knowing the mission or knowing, hey, that's what this place is about, and actually living or doing that mission every single day. And I know, I talk to many of you throughout the week. We read prayer requests that come in. Many of you write on your prayer requests, man, I really hope, you know, my husband or my wife or my family or my neighbor, you know, that comes to know Christ. I know we all have people in our lives, friends, neighbors, coworkers, that we hope find their way to God because we know it's a game changer. I mean, we really do. We know there's a lot of things that change the game for us, but we specifically know that when someone finds their way to God and comes into a restoring relationship with Jesus Christ, it just changes that person. And not only does it change that person, but it changes their family. And it begins to spill out. And we see this over and over again. It spills out into their circle of friends and into their neighbors and into their circles of influence. And before long, it begins to change a community. And it even is the way that God, I believe, intends to change this world around us. Now, the question is, how do you do it? All right, how do you, like you, I mean, not just me as the pastor, but like how do we as a community be a part of doing this? How do we go beyond hoping, if you will, my friends find their way to God, hoping my neighbors, my colleagues, my coworkers find their way to God? Because I think we all hope that, right? We have people in our lives who say, yeah, I pray for them. I really hope they find their way to God versus helping them. Now, we can't make the decision for them, but there's certainly things we can do that point them and maybe serve as a way to help them see the real Jesus and who Jesus really is. So that's what we're going to be taking a look at over these next 5 weeks. We're going to look at what it means to be a great neighbor, and neighbor is inclusive of the people in our lives. Now, to do this, I want to begin by looking at Genesis chapter 12. We're going to go back to the Old Testament, and we see in Genesis 12, God begins what we're going to call a strategy with a guy by the name of Abraham. Abraham, he says to Abraham, hey, Abraham, you're the guy. I want to start with you. So it says, the Lord had said to Abram, Abram was Abraham. Basically, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. He said, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, look at this. There's one word used five times. Anybody guess the word? Blessed, right? There they are. Look at them right here. God says, I will bless you, Abraham. Then he goes on and says, you will be a blessing. I will bless those who you bless. And then he says, all the people on the earth who come behind you, they're going to be blessed as a result of your life. I mean, this is crazy. Now, I don't know if you know the story of Abraham and Sarah. If you don't know the story, here's the short version. God says, hey, you're going to be a blessing. You're going to lead a great nation. There's going to be so many people in the nation that starts from you and your wife. You aren't even be able to count them. Abraham raises his hands. He's like, God, quick question. Got a little problem right here. we're dealing with some infertility issues. We can't have a baby. And Abraham and Sarah were 80 years old, right? They had not been able to have one child. And God says to Abraham, Abraham, I've got a dream for you. And I know when you look around at everything going on around you, I know the world is not the way that you want it to be or I want it to be. And I know there's certain things in your life, Abraham, that are not the way that you want them to be. Meaning, I know you wish you would have had children like years ago. And I know you're even probably going to laugh out loud when I tell you what's going to happen, which they actually did. He said, but I'm going to bless you and I'm going to continue to bless you. And here's the deal. When I bless you, this isn't something for just you. You're going to need to turn that around and you're going to need to pass that blessing on to others. Meaning you can't like hoard it for yourself and be like, oh man, look what God did right here. He says, no, I'm going to bless you so you can turn that around and you can use those blessings to bless every single person who comes after you. And here you and I are sitting right here in the Cross Point venue 6,000 years later after this conversation between Abraham and God. And I believe that he has the same desire for every single one of us. I think he looks at you and I and he says, you know what, I know the world around you is not the way that you would have planned for it to be. I know there's probably certain things in your life, just like Abraham, that aren't exactly the way that you want it to be. But man, take an inventory. I bless you. You've been blessed. Right? And I'm going to continue to bless you. And your job, your role, your mission is simply to take the blessings I've given you and to go on and pass those on and bless other people. That's one of the primary reasons you're here. And this is probably one of the main ways we're going to change the whole thing that's going on around us. See, God introduced Abraham right here to what I believe he is calling us to continue to do. And it's this blessing strategy. To simply just be a blessing. Look for opportunities to bless people. Listen, this is one of the reasons I'm so excited about Cross Point Westfield starting later this fall. We're taking what we do here in Fishers, and we're basically dropping that into Westfield, starting a brand new campus in Westfield. And you might say, well, why are we doing that? Not so we can have two campuses, all right? Two campuses means a lot more headache and a lot more work for me. That's what that means, all right? But the reason we do this is because God has been so, just had his hand on us here at Cross Point Fishers for 13 years. 13 years ago today, we started across the street at Fall Creek Intermediate School. And the journey over the last 13 years, it's not always been easy, but oh my word, God has just had immense favor on us. Many of you are here because this place has been relentlessly committed to helping people find their way to God. And that's why you're sitting in the seats today. And it would be selfish of us to be like, oh man, we're enjoying some good stuff and get to sit in here in some nice seats, drink some nice warm coffee, and not do anything else. God says, no, I blessed you so you can take what you've experienced and you can go to another community and you can be a blessing there. And so if you've not attended one of the launch team meetings, we've only had one. So if you missed it, there's another one coming up. April 19th, here in about a month, we're going to have another launch team meeting. And I hope every single one of us who called Cross Point home attends that meeting if you didn't attend the first one. You might be called to go be a part of the team. All right, maybe you'll be called to go for a short-term time to just go kind of help them get off the ground. But you live in Fishers or McCordsville, and you're like, this is probably my community, but I want to go be a part of something. Very few people get to start something new. You might be able to say, I'm part of that. Or you may stay here at Cross Point Fishers, but you know people who live in Westfield, in West Carmel, West Fishers, in Zionsville, in Noblesville. And part of your awareness might be being a blessing to them and helping connect them to this new community. See, this is God's strategy on how he continues to move his movement forward of bringing people and restoring relationship with his children, bringing them back into relationship with their Heavenly Father. Now, I don't know that there's any better example of this, to try to understand this, than the life of Jesus. So we're going to look at Jesus this morning, and we miss this so many times. We think a lot of things we associate with Jesus, but we forget that everywhere he went, life was just better. Everywhere he went, he blessed people. He was very intentional. Every place that he went. In fact, word began to spread about him. People began to hear that he's just this like blessing machine. And if I could just get close enough to have him bless me or touch him, my life begins to look different. In fact, take a look at what happened here in Mark 10. It says, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and, what's it say? Bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and he blessed them. Crazy thing, we have some parents coming to do the same thing today. Parents just come and say, we're going to commit ourselves as parents to raising our children to the best of our ability in a way that helps them understand who Jesus is. We can't make any decisions for them, all right? We can't make their faith decisions, but we're going to commit ourselves and ask for God's blessing on their lives. See, there wasn't a moment in Jesus' life where he wasn't blessing or in some way looking for opportunities to make somebody's life better, a little brighter, every single person he interacted with. In fact, we're going to look at a moment here in the gospel according to Luke. And before we look at this, let me explain Luke to you. If you're not familiar with Luke, Luke's one of the authorized biographers of Jesus' life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the four gospels. These are basically four men who wrote what they observed and put it in kind of a manuscript. All right, it wasn't the Bible at the time. It was just a recording of history of what took place. And so Luke, a little bit about Luke. If you're not real sure, like, can I believe the Bible? How do I know everything's accurate in there? Well, Luke was a doctor. He was very meticulous in his note-taking, just like any doctor is. And he even tells us why he chose to sit down and write this. Take a look at verse 3. As soon as he starts writing here, his manuscript, he says, "Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you." And then look at what he says here. He tells us why he did this. He says, "So you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught." You know what that means? He says, you know, I want people 2,000 years later to not have any question. I want them to grasp the magnitude and the gravity of what it was like to be around this Jesus when he walked the earth. And then he tells us this story right here. He says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Hang on to that little phrase right there, passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short and could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, notice the first phrase right here. What does this tell us Jesus was doing? It says he was what? Passing through, right? Which means he was traveling, which means this was not his final destination. Jericho was not where he was stopping, right? So he stops and spends some time with Zacchaeus right now, but this wasn't something he planned ahead 3 weeks ago. He didn't say, "Hey, Alexa, put Zacchaeus on my calendar for, you know, this day in 3 weeks. No, he's just passing through, going from one place to another. And in the midst of going through this little vacation town known as Jericho, he actually looks for an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody, sees Zacchaeus. And here's the thing we can miss. See, if we don't first get this, we can't get down in the weeds and kind of understand, okay, how do we actually bless people? All right, we have to get this at the outset. Jesus chose, look at this, a tax collector. This is a guy who ripped people off. This is a guy who everybody hated. I mean, he's collecting, you know, taxes for the government, but then he's also taking another 15 to 20% for himself. And nobody was going to do anything about it because the government was happy he was collecting their portion. So everybody hated Zacchaeus. But see, remember Jesus, he had a life mission. He said, "I did not come to condemn, but to bring life." And so this trumped everything that Jesus did. And see, here's the thing. If you want to help people, if you want to be a part of this movement of helping people find their way to God, you know, if you want to be a part of helping restore hope in our world and people around you that, you know, man, God, it would radically change their lives if they came to encounter with Jesus. If you want to be a part of that, then just like Jesus, we gotta first and foremost say, my main thing, above my job, above everything I do, is to just be a blessing to people. And you say, well, Kurt, does that mean I don't go to work? I just go and take a paycheck and don't? No, do your work. It just means in the midst of your work, what if your main thing was like, how can I bless people? How can I just make their day brighter and better? Jesus, he was being a friend to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't have any friends, and rightfully so, right? So, I mean, that's a big deal to have somebody come along and say, hey, can I have a meal with you? And this act so moved Zacchaeus. Take a look at what happens next. It says, Zacchaeus stood up, and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything," now he knows he's cheated everybody out of something, right? That's not like rhetorical. He knows. He basically says, if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. He says, man, you have been such a blessing to me, Jesus. Guess what? I'm going to in turn turn that around and bless everybody that I have contact with. And this experience actually brought him back into relationship with his heavenly Father. Take a look at verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation, there's been a redemption that's come, a restoring of relationship that's come to you." And he says, "Because this man too is a son of Abraham." Now, what does that phrase mean, a son of Abraham? You know what that means? That means he's on board with the strategy. That means he's connecting that all the way to back to this call he gave to Abraham. That God's strategy always has been, man, just be a blessing to people, and in the midst of it, you will actually help them see who the God of the universe is, and as a result, you might even help them encounter and come into relationship with him. I mean, Abraham, he said, Abraham, I want you to be a blessing, but not just for you. I want you to turn around and bless others. Everybody behind you is going to be blessed by you. Then we fast forward 4,000 years to Jesus. He's just like a blessing machine, right? All the way to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus gets blessed by Jesus, taking time. And as a result, he's like, man, I want to turn this around and bless all the people that I've been taking money from. And it goes even all the way forward to the Apostle Paul, and Paul connects that to you and I sitting right here even 2,000 years later. Take a look at what Paul says in Galatians chapter 3. He says, understand then that those who have faith, let me just ask, anybody of us have faith in the room? Just out of curiosity, I have faith. Anybody? Yeah. Okay, so he's talking to you. If you raise your hand, he's talking to you. He says, those who have faith, look at what he calls you. He says, you are children of Abraham. You know what that means? He says, you're to be on board with this blessing strategy. This call I gave to Abraham, the same thing for you. I want you to just be a blessing machine to people. That's the plan. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, so that those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, this man of faith. So God, the same promise he gave to Abraham, he gives to you and I sitting here today. I mean, if we want to see hope restored, if we want to see people come back into relationship with God, if we want to see families change, if we want to see communities change, we've got to get on board with this blessing strategy. It's the way God has worked throughout history. So let me get real practical on this for the next few minutes, all right? Just way down in the weeds. How do we do this, all right? Because what I'm saying is you're blessed. Would you guys all agree that you're blessed? I'm not convinced that you are. How about I go back and redo the last 20 minutes? Would that help? Let's cover it all again. No. Are you guys convinced you're blessed? Yes. All right. Regardless of where we are in our spiritual journey, guess what, man? You are blessed. If you live in this community, you are blessed. If you were able to drive here today, you're blessed, all right? And so, okay, well, what is it? What are the blessings we have? Well, for one, for those of us who have a relationship with God through Jesus, Paul says, you're blessed. That's an enormous blessing. Jesus did something for you that you didn't deserve, and yet you received it anyway. And he says, you can share that with others. And so let me give you some very practical ways that we do that. All right, in fact, James, the brother of Jesus, like the biological brother of Jesus, think about Jesus being Jesus' brother for a moment. That'd be a hard job, right? The biological brother of Jesus says this. He says, every good gift comes from God. And so what that means is your resources, for instance. All right, first and foremost, he says, enjoy them. Enjoy them. God says, I gave you all good things I've given you. Enjoy them, first and foremost, but don't just enjoy them yourself. Use them to be a blessing to people. Many of you are doing this. You put stuff in the joy box every week? Yeah. And when we do that, we go, woo, every time we say joy box. Because we get excited about fuel and life change around here. Many of you are participating in the Dream Big initiative. You know, giving above and beyond your normal giving to help plant new campuses and new communities. You're using your resources to be a blessing to people. Many of you, a lot of you in this room have influence. You're in key positions in your businesses and the community of influence. God says, use that. Use your circles of influence, your circles of friendships, your networking circles, your neighborhood relationships. If you coach teams in the community of kids, use your influence there. Be a blessing. He says, if you have possessions, you know, a house or a lawnmower, a snowblower. He said, man, don't just enjoy it. I mean, do it, use it yourself, which you didn't use your snowblower much this year, you know, which I'm kind of bummed about, by the way. But he says, use that. Don't just enjoy it yourself. Like, bless your neighbors with it. It could be things like time. Time is a very easy way to be a blessing. My word. Think about what it means when somebody gives you time. In the movie, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the reporter that you saw there interviewing Fred Rogers, his name's Lloyd. And he's been charged to interview Fred Rogers, and he is not happy about it. He usually does like high profile figures, and he's like, I do not, you know, feature children celebrities. So he is not happy about going and having to do this interview with Fred Rogers. But he does it. He goes along, and in the midst of this, his life begins to be touched by the way that Fred Rogers just blesses him in the film. In fact, there's one moment where Mr. Rogers invites Lloyd. He calls him on the phone, and he invites him to an interview that he's going to be having there in New York City. And he says to Lloyd, he says, Lloyd, do you know what the most important thing in the world to me is right now? And Lloyd's kind of like, no, I have no idea. And Fred Rogers says, it's talking to you, Lloyd. That's the most important thing to me right now. Tell you what, if you're on the other end of that conversation, just giving that kind of time and devotion to someone and focus, man, you feel value, you feel blessed. There's also intangible things. I mean, things like as simply as just smiling at somebody, noticing. I mean, you know, walking down the street, some of you don't know, just looking and acknowledging they're there and giving them a smile. You never know how that may change not only their day or their week, but their month and their year or their life. Noticing things, just paying attention to things going on around you. Anybody know the name Kevin Hines, out of curiosity? Kevin Hines, ring a bell for anyone in the room? I got introduced to Kevin Hines or his story a few years ago when we did some training here at Crosspoint. Kevin Hines is one of 25 individuals who attempted to take their life by suicide by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge and didn't succeed at it. They were unsuccessful. That's a good thing to not be successful at, right? If you're going to be not successful and fail at something. 2,000 people plus have jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge to their death and died by suicide. Kevin is one of 25 who attempted and lived to tell a story on the other side. And when you hear his story, you can check it out on YouTube. He talks about that day, how he ran to the rail, put his hands on the rail, and he says, what I'm about to tell you, every survivor has said. The moment my hands hit the rail and I catapulted over the other side, the millisecond my hands left the rail, I instantly regretted it. And then he goes on to talk about the hours leading up to that moment. He talks about getting on a bus from his apartment to go to the Golden Gate Bridge and how he was sitting there. He's like, I was just a mess. He's like, I was a wreck. You know, I'm contemplating my life. And he's like, I'm just waiting for one person to just smile and like acknowledge that I'm there. I'm just waiting for one person to like look at me and be like, hey, is everything all right? And then he talks about walking up and down the walkway on the Golden Gate Bridge for like 40 minutes, passing joggers, bikers, officers, tourists. Somebody asks him to take their picture. Hey, will you take my picture? And then they take a picture and go on. He says, I'm a wreck. If just one person maybe would have acknowledged me. See, you never know how a simple acknowledgement, a smile may change somebody's, not just the moment, but maybe even their day, week, month, year, or life. Tell you what, when we leave here today, really your only next step today, there's really two I'm going to give you, but your only next step, this is on the back of your connection card if you want to play along, is to walk out of here and this week just be attentive to how can I be a blessing machine? And it shouldn't cost you anything. How can I just look for opportunities to be an encouragement and make moments better? To share a word of encouragement, to be a blessing to someone, to smile, to just thank them, to notice something that they're doing and know that that's going to make a difference. I'll tell you what, you do that and you will begin to make the world brighter all around you. You know, for the last 3 weeks, I have been doing this really kind of weird thing. I've been walking down, two doors down, to Fall Creek Elementary, and I've been leading this balloon twisting club with second, third, and fourth graders after school. Really kind of crazy, and you're like, Kurt, we didn't know. Yeah, I have this really odd skill. I twist balloons. My wife says if your day job goes south, then you can be a clown in the evening. So makes me feel better. So I walk down there, and I get to interact with 26, mostly boys in my club. There are over 400 students that are doing after-school clubs for 4 weeks at Fall Creek Elementary. It's really cool. A lot of fun. And it's actually crazy as well. Now, I learned to do balloon twisting for one of my kids' birthdays about 10 years ago. They wanted balloons, and so I said, well, you know, I'll check it out on YouTube, and I learned how to do it and did it for the birthday. Well, then these clubs came about, and they're like, we're looking for parent volunteers to use their special gifts to be a blessing to kids and do these clubs and do something after school. And my kids are like, Dad, you need to do it. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, teach the writings of the Apostle Paul or what? Like, second graders aren't interested. And so they said, no, you can do balloon club. So that's where it began, and I've been doing it ever since. So, and imagine, 26 second, third, and fourth graders, they've been in a classroom all day, they've got all kinds of energy, it's after school, there's not a lot of structure, they sit on the floor and I give them things that make noises like this. It's crazy, right? So anyway, it's a lot of fun. We're in week three right now. And so we just make different animals and twists every single week. And so after the first week, we're going into the second week, and on my run that morning, that's where I do a lot of my like praying, thinking, meditating, talking to God, I felt like God nudged me and told me I need to write just a short little note to the director of the clubs, the volunteer who heads these up. It's like 20-some clubs, 400 and some kids that come after school to do this. Just tell her what a difference she's making. Be an encouragement to her. And I'm like, okay, I'll do that. I got home, you know, got my computer out, and about that moment, I then had this other voice in my head that kind of whispered, Kurt, don't do that. Don't be a suck up. You know, you're brown nose your way in to, you know, just thinking, you know, just don't do that. I don't know why that was what came to my mind, but I'm like, you know, who wants to be that person, right? So I'm in a tension, right? Do I write a note? Do I not? I decided, okay, I'm going to go ahead and write it anyway. I felt nudged to do that. So I wrote this lady just a short little email and said, hey, I just want to thank you for the time you've put in. I know it's a lot of time, it's a lot of effort, probably sleepless nights to see the timestamp of your emails. I want you to know, man, when I saw those kids last week and just how excited they were to be there, they love after-school clubs. And I don't know if you understand and recognize what a difference it's making, but it is for my kids. And I just wanted to take a moment and say, I noticed. Thank you. And I hit send. So I went about my day, came into the office that day, worked about 3:30. I grabbed my balloon bag and I walked down toward Fall Creek Elementary School. And I walked in, we had a pre-serve, kind of a pre-volunteer meeting with all the volunteers that were working that day. And it's kind of a pre-brief before we go into the classrooms and we start clubs. And as I was exiting the room, she just said to me on the way out, she said, hey, I just want to thank you for your email. I'm like, oh, no, it's no big deal. She's like, no, seriously, I want to thank you for your email. I'm like, oh, okay. She's like, no, I was sitting at lunch with my husband this morning, and today at noon, and I started crying. There's tears running down my face. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm sorry. She's like, no. She's like, you just reminded me of how important things like this are to kids and how much of a difference they make. I'm like, oh, okay, good. See, it's not hard to take what you can do and what you have and to just be a blessing. Opportunity is available around you all the time. You just have to pay attention. You have to look for them. You have to follow those nudgings, those leadings, and you can do it. So over these next 5 weeks, we're going to just be breaking down some very practical ways. We're going to look at this acronym. It spells the word BLESS, and we're going to look at 5 ways that we can make a difference in the lives of the people around us. Now, we talked about this last year. We did like a quick flyover over this blessing strategy last year. How many of you remember it, just out of curiosity? Oh, like 6 of you were paying attention last year. Awesome. How many of you are doing the strategy every day, like all 5 things every day or week? None of you. Okay, this is why we're talking about it again, all right? And so we're gonna give you very practical ways because this is critically important. If we want to see our world look different, we've got to get on board with the blessing strategy. And get beyond just hoping our friends and our neighbors and our family members find their way to God to actually helping them. We can't decide for them, but there's things you and I can do every single day that actually prepare the way. So I want to give you just this list real quick. I'm going to break them out for you real quick just to kind of, you know, bait you on coming back next week. So B is begin with prayer. See, Jesus, before he went out and started his ministry, he began with prayer. Why do we begin with prayer? Well, see, prayer is how you not only do the mission, it's how you discover the mission. It was in my prayer time during my run that morning that I just got prompted, hey, drop that lady an email and just tell her what a difference is. Tell her you're noticing the difference it's making. It was an enormous difference in that. I had no idea, but I just followed through on what I was prompted to do. All right, you might be going, okay, I'm on board with this. I want to be a blessing. How do I do it? Where do I start? You begin with prayer. You say, okay, God, who today in my life do you want me to pay attention to? Who, just help me see what you want me to see today. And it changes things. The second one, L, stands for listen. When you read through the Gospels of Jesus, the accounts of Jesus' life, over and over and over again, we see Jesus ask questions and then he listens. So this is one of the problems in our world today with Christians. You know, Christians do way too much talking, giving way too much instructions to people, just barking commands out all the time. I need to do this. Stop doing that. Jesus didn't do that. We look at the life of Jesus. He would ask and listen, and he would hear people's hopes and dreams and pains and fears and brokenness. The third one, you're going to love the third one. We all do this really well. Eat together. Just eat. Didn't know that was a spiritual principle. You can eat. When did Zacchaeus have a trajectory change in his life? It was when Jesus said, hey, I want to come to your house and have a meal with you, Zacchaeus. See, eating together, having coffee, dessert, whatever it might be, you move from an acquaintance to a friendship, and you begin to hear that person's story and their life and what they're experiencing, which leads to the fourth one. You get the opportunity then to serve them because you just heard, here's where I'm kind of struggling. Here's where life is difficult. And you go, oh my gosh, how can I want to come along and help you right there. And then the fifth one just kind of naturally happens, I've discovered. The fifth one is just that you eventually get to tell your story. Because when you begin to serve people, they go, why are you doing this? What's different? You're different than everybody else. Like, what's the motivation behind this? And you get to go, wow, gosh, I've just been blessed. I mean, God has done so much for me. I want to turn that around and do that for others. And so we're actually going to train you on how to develop your story. You have a story. It's very, very simple. You've experienced it. You've lived it. It's just identifying what it is. So we're going to train you on how to have a story that you can share. And so I hope you'll plan to be here over the next 5 weeks, every weekend. I mean, it's another one of our next steps. I'll return next weekend. If you can't be here Sunday, make sure you hit Thursday. That's why we do Thursdays, because weekends get busy, and we're a huge fan of helping all you do-it-yourselfers and coaches and fans and, you know, travelers to have a place to connect in community. And if you can't make Thursday or Sunday, just jump on the podcast. But decide today, okay, I'm going to come Thursday, I'm going to come Sunday, because it's so important that we get on board with very practical things that we can all do to be a blessing to people. And in the midst of just these simple ways that we bless people, we actually help them see not only who God is, but they begin to encounter him through us, and it might just lead them into a relationship.